Blog Talk Radio.
Hello from beautiful Missoula, Montana, and today it truly is beautiful, not quite as cold as it has been this last week. So I'm super excited to bring my friend Camelia Gray Nelson, the Dog Talk Diva, to the show. We have been working for some time trying to get her on and to coordinate schedules. I want you to know that last year in the WIPN conference, and WIPN means Women in the Pet Industry Network, Camelia gave a workshop that was by far and away the best one I attended. It just really resonated with me, and I loved what she was talking about, not only from a pet standpoint, but because I've worked for years in empowering women and children and teaching resilience skills. So she has likened a lot of what we learn in dog training to what we need to know in life. I'm going to recommend her book very highly. I'm going to write a review today. I should have done it a long time ago, but I'm promising her that we will get on to this. So I'm going to allow her to just take over and tell us a little bit about why a dog training book for women. Isn't dog training, even though I know the answer? Go ahead.
Well, thank you, Judy. It's such a pleasure to be on your show and talk with you again and have a chance to share some information that hopefully is helpful to your listeners. I did write a book a couple of years ago that was very popular, continues to be popular, and the name of it is Lipstick and the Leash, Dog Training a Woman's Way. Now, on the surface, that sounds like a dog training book. And yes, I suppose it is, but you know because you've read it, that is just the top layer of information. The real meat of what I have to share in Lipstick and the Leash goes far beyond their relationship with our dog. It's about life. It's about getting what you want from any other being, not just the four-legged type, because we take lessons from how Mother Nature works her magic in social situations and how we can emulate the effective dogs. We can learn why dogs want to do certain things for us and why they might ignore us. And by the way, I wrote it for women because in the natural world...
Go ahead. Yeah, like that.
I wrote it for women because
I've been
a dog trainer for 26 years now. Tens of thousands of clients and dogs have passed through my doors. And a number of years ago, I realized, gosh, there's some patterns here. First of all, number one, most of my clients are women. And statistically, I researched that, and it's because almost 74% of every dog-owning household leaves everything having to do with the dog to a woman.
Yep, and been there, done that.
Yeah, oh yeah. And secondly, they all had the same problems. If I had a nickel for every time some woman said to me, well, he minds my husband, but he just ignores me, I could retire.
Right.
The book, to explain why that is. There's a lot of things women do, and we'll get into this as we talk, but a lot of things women do unintentionally diminish their power in the eyes of the dog and, granted, in the eyes of children and other people, and goes on and on. We're all related. We're all interconnected.
We are, which is one of the reasons that I chose the name of Animal-Human Connection, because we are connected. And we tend to sometimes put animals in one category and humans in the other, but really and truly we aren't.
No, we're same animal. The human animal, but by the way, we are part of the animal world. The human animal simply walks upright on two legs and wears clothes. And beyond that, and they have a great big brain that gets them in trouble and overthinks their instinct, which is why we get in trouble.
Yep. Well, I tell us about, because I can so readily identify with a woman taking care of the of the dogs and growling and grumbling and yelling about it, how does that transfer into the other areas of her life?
Well, basically, if you look at what it takes to truly communicate with a dog and get what you want from them, and that's what training is. You're convincing the dog to do it your way. You can't force them. You have to convince them that your way is best and that you have the right to ask. If you can achieve that with a dog by being a respectable leader, by setting clear boundaries, by following through without exception and without emotion, by avoiding emotional outbursts, by staying calm and serene, but focused on the end result. Sounds like a parenting class, doesn't it? Because we're all the same animal, you see. Our instincts are the same, whether we're a human or canine. And you can achieve success in a social manner, get what you want from others, including your dog, by using the same techniques you use in dog training and avoiding the same things. I have a chapter in Lipstick and the Leash called A Woman's Kryptonite, Stay Away From
Yes,
It.
Yes, I love that chapter. Yeah.
And just as the fabled superhero Superman of years gone by was supremely strong, except he was brought to his knees by a mysterious element called kryptonite. Women have their own versions of kryptonite, and it comes in several forms. It can come in accommodation, excessive accommodation. It can come in fidgeting, both verbal and physical, and it can come in emotional extremes. Those are the three elements of kryptonite that will cut your power off at your knees because they all communicate weakness, not strength.
I just couldn't agree with you more. And I don't know if you remember that I have a background in early education.
Oh, yeah.
And one of the things that I stress so much that on setting boundaries, and we all need boundaries, all of this animal kingdom, is to be firm, kind, and consistent. And that's exactly you're teaching us to do with our dogs and with our kids and with our coworkers and with our spouses and with our neighbors. Love it.
And the reason that technique works, the reason consistent and kind and whatever else, I use different terminology, but it's the same thing. The reason it works, are you ready? It's because those are the characteristics in the animal world of the lead animal in the group.
It sure is.
That's why it works. Because we instinctively, as a human animal, we are drawn to power, we are repelled by weakness, and we take orders and listen to and follow only those individuals which we perceive as having higher status than our own within the group. What people today do not understand, because they get all of their animal information from Hollywood, status in the animal world is not achieved through fighting. Fighting, yes, does happen occasionally, but it is the last option, not the first, in the animal world. Boundaries are set more subtly, but clearly, with symbolic gestures of power, and which is why I train in a quiet leadership mode with dogs, and dogs that have never listened before, almost miraculously, settle down and listen and obey, because I'm quiet, I'm not apologetic about my rules. That's huge, by the way. I'm not apologizing.
Sure is.
I'm firm, but I'm fair, and I'm friendly. I tell my clients, think of yourself as the perfect kindergarten teacher when you are working with your dog. Good kindergarten teachers never raise their voice. They have a routine that they follow religiously. And they follow through on every rule but they do it with a hug, you know?
They do, and they're very, very consistent. The rules are the same today as they were yesterday and as they will be next week. It's very consistent. And I see so many animals, including ours many times, who have been brought in because they're outside barking, and we bring them in. Our rule is you bark, you park, and we bring them in. And then, like just now, I got up and let her out again. So there goes the training for that one.
Yeah, you can be strict but be loving at the same time, and that's what I
sure can.
But you got to stop raising your voice. You got to stop being emotional, because those are marks of a weak individual in a social group. It's absolutely fascinating, but it makes dog training really fun because you can do it very quietly.
And, you know, one of the things in your book that I really enjoyed was how the mother dog, by nonverbal communication, kind of teaches her puppy to be a dog. So many times that nonverbal is much more important than any verbally you will say. Why don't you go into that? That's a neat area that we haven't touched on that much.
Well, words are not boundaries. Words aren't boundaries. They're just noise. A boundary is something that actually stops a behavior. We're talking about stopping a behavior. That's a boundary. And however you do that doesn't really matter, as long as you don't do it with any anger, because, again, that shows your weakness, not your strength. But it's the ability to say, I don't allow that, darling. I don't allow that. Not in my house. And that's what a mother dog will do. She will use a series of growls, barks, nips, maternal restraint. You know, well, she'll hold the puppy's muzzle in her mouth until the puppy stops the behavior, and then she lets them go. Or she'll put her paw over and sort of pin them to the ground and just quietly, nonchalantly hold them there until they say, okay, uncle, you know, and then she lets them up and then she licks them. But she's not afraid to say, don't do that, and back it up with a growl or even a nip. But it's symbolic. It's a symbolic conversation. It's a symbolic gesture of power that the puppy then understands. That's a little warning, and that's a little sign to me that mama has power in reserve. She'd rather not use it, and I'd rather not her use it. So I'm gonna do it her way, because she always makes me glad I did.
Do you know, Camille, I want you to repeat something, because I'm taking notes here like crazy, but I didn't get all of words are not boundaries. What was
words,
the other part of
boundaries? Words are not boundaries. Boundaries are the ceasing of a behavior. That's a boundary.
Good. Okay.
You stop the behavior. So our favorite mantra in nature-based dog training, which is what I do, is, I don't allow that, darling. It's not sit. Do you know, my own dogs do not know what sit means.
Okay.
They don't know sit. They don't know down. They don't know heel. You know what they know? They know what every dog in nature knows. Well, they know a couple of other things. They know come here, stay there, because those are life-saving in a human world. And then they know what every dog in nature knows. Don't do that. What
Love
I'm
it.
Doing is I'm teaching dogs how to make responsible life decisions. You do not teach a dog to make a responsible life decision by telling him to sit every time you want to avoid a problem.
You are so right.
That's a very pithy statement right there. That is profound, and I hope your listeners really got that. Sit.
Yeah.
Does not teach your dog good behavior. It avoids the bad behavior. But it doesn't teach them to avoid the bad behavior themselves. That is the difference between just training and true obedience. You know, training and obedience really aren't the same thing. Training is what the dog knows cognitively. oh, sit down, roll over, shake, and then I get a cookie. And that's my behavior chain that I've been taught to, you know, keep myself occupied so I don't jump on the guests.
Mm-hmm.
All I do is say, don't jump on the guests.
Right, right.
And so they learn quickly, effectively, because it's their own language. I'm teaching them in their native tongue. The mother dog and the alpha dog doesn't go, sit. They say, stop jumping on me.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So it's a really interesting way to look at dog training. And I am working on a new book now. It's not about dogs.
Are you?
Oh, yes. It's not about dogs at all. It's about getting what you want from the two-legged animals in your life. And it's
well,
going to be fun.
Well, I have
fun.
To tell you, just reading this one, I thought, man, this is so adaptable. And I'm teaching a parenting class next week, and I'm highlighting
some
little sticky notes and thinking, okay, I got to share this with the parents in that group.
Well, I'm thinking of contacting the parenting groups in my area and seeing if they want a guest lecturer to come with a dog and explain how to train children by training a dog. I think it would be great fun.
I think it would be, too. And the corollary is amazing. It's just I just am so impressed with it because I've worked with lots of disadvantaged families, and often they can't relate to role models who are human because the humans in their life were very, very very abusive and very hard. So I use animals to teach how to show love. I teach animals to show how to forgive and all of these things, and they can relate to that. So I think your idea of bringing this into parenting is amazing and would be a gift for the parents.
I think I just think it would be so enlightening for them. And something that's not unexpected, but has clarity to it. You know, I want to talk a little bit about where I learned all of this. Become a dog trainer and to write Lipstick and the Leash. I was raised on a farm. I'm a farm girl. My earliest associations were with four-legged friends, not two-legged friends, because I was way out in the country. And so I had to, you know, as with any friendship, you have to learn to communicate to develop a friendship,
mm-hmm.
right? So
right.
I needed to make friends with, you know, the cows and the horses and the dogs. And so I learned just on my own as a very young child how to read the animals, how to read them, what they were saying to me and to each other. And I also watched and I saw, I quickly can identify the lead. And, you know, it's obvious when you're watching who the lead cow is, the top dog,
mm-hmm.
you know, the boss mare, you know. And I looked how they did it. And I realize now, you know, fast forward into my dog training career, why training is so easy for me. And how I've developed my techniques, I'm really just expressing what I learned at the knee of the horses, the dogs, and the cows. And so that's what's so fascinating, that I can, you know, everything in life sort of comes together at a certain point, doesn't it? And things that seem very disparate will sort of congeal in a nexus. And that's what's happened with me in dog training. My background growing up on the farm by myself with my animal friends has now come full circle into my professional career and given me.
And, you know, you mentioned something. We've had a number of animal communicators on the show.
Mm.
And yet people think, oh, that's just hocus pocus. But the reality is that doing just what you did on the farm, studying the animals, looking at them, you are communicating with them.
Oh, yeah.
You are, and they are communicating with you.
Because their language is one without words.
Sure.
Their language is eye movements, you know, ears, with the way they hold their body, their posture, all the subtleties, that is their language. We just don't understand it or we miss it. We have moved away from that as human beings with the ability to speak and think and reason. But our instincts are still intact. That's for sure. We react from our instinct before we engage our intellect. That's just a fact. And that's a fascinating fact, as a matter of fact.
I mean, we could get into a long discussion about this, but I think sometimes that humans medicate those natural instincts right out. They're on Prozac or Xanax or something so that they don't react so normally. They're almost afraid of those natural feelings.
It's an interesting topic, isn't it? Yes.
It is.
Yeah.
And the more we study the animals, the more we realize how they do communicate without holding a 2-hour lecture. It's so subtle.
Exactly. And every dog is a little different, just like humans are a little different. And so I will train one dog slightly different than I will train another, because just as human children have different personalities, you know, dogs do too.
And what about
Absolutely.
The breed? Does it matter what their breed is or more their individual personalities?
Well, it's both. Now, keep in mind, dogs were domesticated to work for us. They weren't domesticated to be pets. They were domesticated to do serious jobs for us. A lot of times it involved killing things, just so you know, because they're hunters, they're predators. And certain breeds were that initial predator hunter was tweaked to do maybe chasing things if you're a herding dog, or bringing things back to us, to the pack for consumption, which would be a retriever. So they're going to be very oral, and a herding dog is going to be very pushy and very snappy, because they would nip at the sheep's or the cow's heels to get them to move. That's all legitimate behavior bred in through years and years of selective breeding. So breed has something to do with it in terms of how they act, but their personality doesn't matter what breed they are. You can have a personality that's pushy or a personality that's soft and waiting for direction. And it is regardless of whether you're talking about a golden retriever or a German shepherd. So I have one client in now who's just beside themselves because they got another golden retriever. They've had golden retrievers for 30 years. All their golden retrievers have been, you know, the classic what you picture in the dictionary with the soft eyes and the, you know, just wanting to be with you. And now they have a real dog. And now they have a pushy one. It's the same breed. It's from the same breeder. It's from the same bloodline. Entirely different dog. And so they have to learn how to communicate with that dog. And then it gets really complicated because then, and I have another book about this, then it's about the dynamic interaction between that dog's personality and your personality. And some
Absolutely.
Dogs and some dogs Great. And people are like nitro and glycerin, and others are, you know, go with the flow, it's all good. So then it's like picking a life partner, you see?
Mm-hmm.
You know, just because some guy doesn't work out with me doesn't mean he's not going to work out with somebody else. He's a great guy, but just not good with me. Or vice versa. You see what I'm saying? So it can get quite interesting and quite complex, even though it's pretty basic. Yeah.
So I'm thinking you not only need to be teaching this to parents, but to singles groups.
Anyone. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Oh, I can. Oh, remember that book, The Rules, that was out for singles
groups
years ago?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
I could write my version of that. Oh, my goodness.
I bet you could. I bet you.
Absolutely.
People and you dogs in so many different configurations. Well,
yeah.
Because I have enjoyed this book so much, I want to make sure our audience knows where to find the book and how to contact you. So why don't you give us, why don't you share that information with us right now?
Oh, gladly. Check with your local bookstores because it may be on the shelf there. If they're out of stock, don't have it in because it's been published for a couple of years. Then Amazon is, it's always available at Amazon. And the website for the book is lipstickandtheleash.com. But there's also another website that I keep with my Dog Talk Diva training advice, and that's called dogtalkdiva.com. Tons of blogs and articles on life with dogs, dog issues, dog problems, dog personalities, managing a busy life with a busy woman's responsibilities and all those kinds of things on dogtalkdiva.com.
And is that, do you write the blog posts? So they're coming from, okay, so they're coming from your experience in teaching and training.
Oh, yes, I don't have any ghostwriters. No, every word is from me, every single word, as every word in the book was. So it's a fun thing for me to do, to share that. And if people, and it's a blog, so you can ask me questions and I respond. You can also give me ideas for what you'd like a blog written about.
Oh, I think that's great. Now, once again, everybody, that blog post is dogtalkdiva.com. And the name of the book that she's written that I enjoyed, and I know I'm going to enjoy the next one, but this one is called Lipstick and the Leash. So go to your local bookstore or go to Amazon. If you go to Amazon, you'll see a review from me very shortly. Camelia, tell us a little bit about your next book. You said that you were excited about that one.
I am, and I'm just trying to, you know, finding time to write when you're a busy woman.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I run a big kennel here. I've got 20 employees and lots of dogs, and I'm a stable with my own horses, so I got lots going on here, Judy. But it's about stiveness. I mean, that's the only way I can explain it. It's about getting what you want. It's about how to get what you want. From your kids, your spouse, your coworkers. It's a wonderful, wonderful book for workplace managers because it's the secret to making people want to do what you ask of them. And it has two divisions. It's going to give instruction if you are in a spot of authority and if you're in a spot of a subordinate role, because even subordinate dogs know how to get what they want. It's not just
the top
dogs.
Yes, they do. That so
they do, and I studied that, and it's so fascinating. It's just gives me chills every time I write.
Isn't it interesting? I cannot believe that at this stage in my life, after having worked so long in parenting and family relationships, that I'm finding this animal-human connection to be one of the most fascinating things I have ever done. It's just it just really reduces a lot of what we do right down to the basics.
I think it's exciting because things finally make sense.
Yes, they do. Yes, they do. I can't begin to tell you how much I have enjoyed this, and of course, we will have you on again. But remember, everyone, this is about dog training and empowerment for women by channeling Mother Nature's ways. And it gives us a role model of what we should do to be empowered, to set boundaries, to get along better. Kids, our dogs, our husbands, our coworkers. And I want to ask Camelia if there's anything else that you would like to leave the listeners with, just some words of advice.
I've got three caveats to live by. You ready?
Let's hear them.
Your rules are your foundation. Your follow-through is your strength. And your serenity is your power.
Love it. I love it. Is your
Great.
Power. Yes. Repeat those.
Yep.
Repeat the
your
middle
rules,
one.
Yep. Your rules are your foundation. Your follow-through to those rules. And your serenity is ultimately your power.
Love it. I'm going to put it on a sticky note right up here on my desk, on the bookshelf, above my desk. Okay, everyone, this is Judy Helm Wright with Animal Human Connection, and talking to Camelia Gray Nelson. And find her book on Amazon or go to dogtalkdiva.com. Thank you again, and we will look forward to hearing from you at another radio interview. Thanks, Camelia.
Thank you
so much.
Talk to you
later.
Bye-bye. It's been my pleasure.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.